They don't show up in younger rocks. They don't show up in older rocks. When a group of organisms goes extinct, that's it, lights out. So keeping these three ideas kind of in the back of our mind, we can use now the succession of different fossils that are related to one another to help us to start to impose a time frame on the rocks that we're looking at. Now, of course, if you're only working with sedimentary rocks, you can use these fossils to help you sort out your timing. But if you're working with something like metamorphic rocks, you have to use a few other tricks to sort out the timing of things, because fossils are very, very rarely preserved in metamorphic rocks. And of course, igneous rocks have their own complications in terms of sorting them out. If we were to consider two different piles of rock that are separated by 100 miles, they might look very different to us. And we might say, you know what, I think the rocks over there on my left are completely different from the rocks over there on my right, because they don't look anything alike. I can't even begin to imagine that they were deposited or formed at the same time. And so we can use all these different rules of relative age dating to start to piece together whether or not those two outcrops really are related to one another, or whether or not they really are totally different in age and therefore are not related to one another at all. An example of this that relies more on faunal succession is, let's say we have three outcrops that we're going to go and visit. One is a steep riverbank, and it's exposed some sedimentary rocks. And then we have a hill that's about 30 miles away. And that hill is fairly steep, and it exposes a different set of sedimentary rocks. And then we go on to an excavation site where they're constructing to build a road, and we see a road cut. It's maybe 40 miles from the first two. If we go back to our riverbank, we find this very unique-looking sea urchin fossil at the top of the sedimentary rocks that are exposed in our riverbank. And we say, oh, that's neat. That's really cool. That's very distinctive. I know I would recognize that sea urchin anywhere. And then we go 30 miles over to our hill, and we find that same sea urchin fossil in the sedimentary rocks at the bottom of the hill. Sedimentary rocks might look just a little bit different between those two places, but because they include the same sea urchin fossil, we now know that the top of our riverbank is the same age as the bottom of our hillside. Now, let's say we climb on up to the top of our hillside and we find a fossil mouse. It's a very cool little fossil mouse, and we can identify it. We know exactly what it is. We say, oh, that's really cool. And then we go on over to our new road cut where they're doing all the excavation, and we find that same fossil mouse, another little body, about midway up that road cut. That tells us that the top of our hillside, some 40 miles away, is the same age as the middle of our road cut at this excavation site. And now we can take all three of those places and we can put them together, basically stitching together these three outcrops from oldest to youngest to tell the story of this 30 to 40 square mile region just based on those three outcrops, the rock types that they have in them, and the fossils that are in them.